Today we'd like to see the title of If I Perish, I Perish in Exodus chapters 3 and 4. To the souls on this online world through MP3 or YouTube channel, on this we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number 1, in chapter 3, verse 6, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 4, verse 14, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? What does it mean in the context, and what can you learn from here? Last question, chapter 4, verse 16. Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the Lord. And if I perish, I perish. What does it mean in the context, and how can you apply it to our lives? Right here, the chart in the captive return. So first return, and over there, you know, second return, there, between first return, second return, there, Esther, you know, come here, Jerogers, or Ahasuerus, Esther become queen, 479 before Christ there. That's a basic background, you may read them. So main point, chapter 3, verse 1. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agite, and advanced him and sent his seat above all the princes who were with him. God had already placed Esther in the position of a queen and Mordecai within the king's court. Now Haman entered the story and the conflict began to unfold. And all the king's servants who were within king's gates bowed and paid homage to Haman. For so the king had commanded concerning him, but Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gates said to Mordecai, why do you transgress the king's command? Now it happened when they spoke to him daily, and he would not listen to them, that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand. For Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. Mordecai refused to bow before Haman. Those who seek to obey God may sometimes stand in the minority, but obedience to God must take priority over obedience to people when the two conflict. Book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 29, conference. Verse 5, when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow and pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him to of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. Haman's anger against Mordecai grew into a desire to destroy all the Jews throughout the Persian Empire. His response reveals the destructive nature of people, hatred, and uncontrolled anger. This is question one. Verse 7, the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast the pearl, that is the law, before Haman to determine the day and the month until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Haman cast the lots, pur, to determine the date for carrying out his plan. The appointed day was nearly a year away, 12 months later, leaving time for events to unfold according to God's providence. Although people may make their plans, God remains sovereign over the outcome. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, reference, citation. The word pur later become associated with the Jewish feast of Purim, which commemorates God's deliverance of his people. Verses 8 to 12. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there are certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do work to bring it into the king's treasuries. So the king took his signet ring from his hand, gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, the enemy of a Jew. The king said to Haman, the money and the people are given to you to do with them as it seems good to you. Then the king's scribes were called on the 13th day of first month, and a decree was written according to all that Haman commanded to king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province, to the officials of all people, to every province according to its script, and to every people in their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus is written and sealed with the king's signet ring. Haman deceived King Ahasuerus by portraying the Jews as a dangerous people who did not obey king's laws. He offered a large sum of money to support their destruction. The king gave him his signet ring, granting him authority to issue the decrees in king's name. Little did the king realize that the decree threatened the life of Queen Esther herself. 13 up to 15. And the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's province to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is a month of Adar, to plunder their possessions. A copy of the document was to be issued as a law in every province, being published for all people, that they should be ready for that day. The couriers went out, hastened by the king's command, and the decree was proclaimed in Shushan, the citadel. So the king and Haman sat down to drink, and the city Shushan was perplexed. The decree commanded the destruction of the Jews and the seizure of their possessions, yet Haman's plan could not overthrow God's purposes. God would preserve his people according to his sovereign plan. While the king and Haman sat down to drink, the city of Shushan was thrown into confusion. human rulers may act careless and cruelty, but God's purposes will ultimately stand. Book of Isaiah, chapter 46, 10. That's just the cross-reference. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, went out in the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was a great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Mordecai learned of the decree, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and mourned loudly. Throughout the empire, the Jews fasted, wept, mourned, because they faced the threat of destruction. Sackcloth and ashes were outstretched expression of deep sorrow, mourning, and humility before God. Verses 4 to 8. So as the major Enoch came told her, and the queen was deeply distressed, then she sent the garments to clothe Mordecai, take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called Hatak, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai, to learn what and why this was. So Hatak went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him, and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king to make a supplication to him and plead before him for her people. So Hatak returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hatak and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who is not being called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may leave. Yet I myself have not been called to go in to the king. These are 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. Esther learned that Mordecai was mourning and did not initially know the reason. Mordecai sent her a copy of a decree and asked her to go before the king and plead for her people. The crisis now required Esther to decide whether she would remain silent or risk her life to intercede for the Jewish people. Verses 11 up to 14. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther questioned her, verse 40. Esther explained that anyone who entered the king's inner court without being summoned could have put to death, unless the king extended the golden scepter. Although Esther was a king, her position, wealth, and influence could not guarantee her safety. human status cannot provide ultimate security, and so our confidence must be in God. Mordecai urged Esther to act, declaring, "Yet who knows whether you have come to kingdom for such a time as this?" Mordecai recognized that Esther's position may have been part of God's providential purpose. Even though God's name is not mentioned directly in the book of Esther, His sovereign hand is evident throughout the events. God often places His people in particular circumstances, positions, and moments of history for His purposes. We should therefore seek His wisdom, courage to do what is right when the opportunity comes. James chapter 4, 17. So that is, "For if anyone knows the good they should do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." God's people may face circumstances they cannot control, but they can faithfully obey God and trust His sovereign purpose. Like Esther, Mordecai, we must be ready to act with courage when God places us in a moment of responsibility for such a time as this. Verses 15 up to 17, 16, question 3. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go get all the Jews who are present in Shushan, and fast for me, neither eat nor drink, for 3 days, night or day. My maid and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Esther responded with courage and faith. She asked the Jews in Susa to fast for 3 days, and she and her attendants would fast as well. Then she would go before the king, even though doing so could cost her life. "If I perish, I perish." Esther understood the danger, but she refused to let fear prevent her from doing what was necessary. Her response teaches us that faith does not always remove danger. Rather, faith gives us the courage to obey God despite the possible whatever consequences. In times of great difficulty, God's people should seek Him through prayers, fasting, and dependence upon His wisdom and strength. Cross-reference there. Mordecai then obeyed Esther's instructions. Neither he nor Esther knew what the final outcome would be, but they acted faithfully and entrusted the consequences to God. So we covered all three questions. So you may continue to pray for all missionary. So keep on praying for next month in the Baltic mission journey, September 3 up to 11. Also, we published a poetry collection of poems. So this one is available, the worldwide hardcover book, you know, as well. So continue to keep on prayer. So always we should point to the Lord, not to human being at all, and Creator. All glory to Him. Let us sing all together on brochure, Maranatha song.